Furious artist.
So you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Dreaming From Afar is a new group exhibition showing at Gus Fisher Gallery, which brings together works from the practices of Gyan Manak, Brunel Diaz-Prims, and Tyrone Terwaa. The show circulates the complexities of history and nostalgia through this painterly language that seeks to morph the physical with the imagined. Gyan Manak is a Nam-based painter who produces mesmerizing works that play with various tropes preserved within the historical painting genres of still life, landscape, and portraiture. Within Dreaming From Afar, Manak showcases a beautiful body of paintings that includes various methods of painterly application, intimate and finely rendered works on oil on canvas, as well as these lively frescoes that become one with the gallery space itself. The works themselves bring the works together, Manak's fascination with historical painting and old masters, alongside his research and exploration of Orientalism and queer representation within art history, pulling these themes together in space to produce beautiful works that grapple with the entrenched hetero and ethnocentric hierarchies of the Western art canon. I caught up with Gyan about the show and overall practice.
My name's Gyan Manak and I'm an artist from Nam, Melbourne. So I'm primarily a painter, but I guess I sort of, you know, work within the kind of, I guess, the canon of painting and like in a more sort of, maybe sometimes experimental and sometimes quite traditional way.
Lovely. And you currently have a work showing within Gus Fisher's new group exhibition, Dreaming From Afar. Within the show, you present a beautiful body of paintings that arise from this exploration of various tropes preserved within the history painting genres of still life, landscape, and portraiture. I wanted to start this conversation by asking, where this kind of pull towards historical paintings came from for you? Was it something that you were exposed to throughout your early life or kind of found yourself later on?
Yeah, I think I've sort of come from a very, I guess, like an arc of having painting around. Like from a very young age, my mum was a painter and my granddad, her father, was a painter. And I think that we had like, you know, books, like this series called The Great Artists. And I kind of, you know, I felt like I almost started studying and painting traditionally with oil paints from such a young age.
Wow.
In a way where it wasn't sort of kind of forced upon me, but I enjoyed it. Dissimilar to like sports. But I think that like kind of circling back to, you know, really traditional tropes and historical painting and, you know, this idea of kind of like studying, I think is the word that I like to use, as opposed to sort of copying or reclamation or something a bit more sort of politicized. But I think that, you know, I've seen my practice probably from, you know, the last 20 years is exploration into sort of self-portraiture. I know a lot of artists use that as like a kind of umbrella term. And I think within that, I've sort of moved quite organically from one kind of series or study to the other.
Yeah.
And, I think kind of circling back to this more sort of traditional, recognisable kind of historical, you know, visual language, I think, you know, talks to that kind of lineage and heritage where I come from. But then also I think it's also, you know, I try to sort of complicate that and challenge it from my personal perspective, which is the other sort of self-portraiture kind of thing, where identity kind of, I guess, politics, for lack of a better term, kind of comes into it.
Yeah, and you've also delved into this exploration of Orientalism and queer representation within art history. What drew you to kind of seek out this alternative representation within art history, especially off the back of this interest and young exposure of these historical paintings and old masters?
I think that it does exist. It probably, you know, in the same way that I experience and like kind of devour film and popular culture and like trying to sort of see representation or, you know, maybe seeing sort of a mirroring of myself in a historical context to sort of almost like validate and kind of placate who and where I am, you know? So I think for me, a lot of it has to do with a residency that I did a few years ago in Indonesia. And I guess I was just really thinking about, you know, how I can be in a space and then respond to it in an authentic way. And that was a lot to, you know, kind of formulating a body of work where it was about East-West, you know, holidaying, residencies, and then this kind of like historical academicism, which kind of comes across from that. So this like grand tour, you know, kind of artists back in the day that kind of went to these Eastern, and it's, you know, like 90-something% of the time kind of one direction, you know. And they sort of fetishized and exoticized the, you know, capital O other. So I think that that was a body of work that I was really visually, you know, engaged within, because they're, you know, they are very beautiful rendered surfaces, but then also quite kind of problematic in terms of its, I guess sort of exoticizing that other that I sort of mentioned. So I think coming to that concept as for a body of work from a perspective of kind of studying these sort of like historical paintings kind of inspired like that side of the body of work at Gus Fischer. And then a more recent exhibition last year back in Nam, where it was more kind of like a historical lens over a queer kind of correspondence, which was the name of the show. So sort of almost like kind of plotting a timeline through photographic work, painting, film, pornography, you know. So this show sort of collapses those two towers together, I think, or attempts to kind of, yeah, have that homoerotic orientalist as a subject.
Within this body of work, you really pull these interests together, resulting in these gorgeous works that in turn grapple with this entrenched hetero and ethnocentric hierarchies of the Western art canon. What was the process like for you kind of approaching this topic alongside the making of your work?
I guess in a practical kind of way, I try to sort of, it's almost like, you know, getting all the kind of ingredients together to like know that it's going to taste good.
Yeah,
sorry, this is how I talk to students sometimes. Yeah, who doesn't? And I think that that's what I sort of try to gather, because the outcomes for me between exhibitions can be kind of vastly different and also sort of kind of new and surprising. So I try to kind of almost like problem solve beforehand, which is where the research comes in for a while. And I did that before I went on another residency in Italy. So I guess I wanted, you know, being in that kind of very heavy sort of space and making this body of work.
Very historically loaded space.
Totally, yeah. And not just, I mean, it was actually not easy to find a lot of Orientalist works, because most of their collections were a lot more kind of, you know, ancient, for lack of a better word. So I think it was more just like even the way that I was painting and I guess bending the concept to facilitate the surface was a bit more kind of interesting, being in such a, you know, like old, traditional sort of space. So I guess, the research and kind of bringing together those ideas and then sort of it forming a body of work, which I guess, tries to speak of what, you know, what you kind of were saying before, this like hetero and ethnocentric ways of looking at Orientalist and queer representation throughout history.
And the subject matter for the show is so enriched with all these layers of references and context. Do you want to speak to me a little bit about the subject matter and imagery used within the works? How did you piece together and form these really theatrical kind of scenes that you use?
I think for, you know, I felt like being inspired by compositional and allegorical kind of markers in Europe was something that I was waiting to kind of, you know, like to wait until I was there.
Yeah.
Beforehand, it was a bit, I guess, when I think of a body of work, I kind of know how many works I'm going to do, kind of what they are of, and then finding the images to sort of be collaged onto a surface is like maybe like not the most frustrating part, but it's equally, it's not frustrating, it's exciting, but it's also a bit, I guess, somewhat, a bit of the studio practice where it's like not even actually painting, it's kind of finding all these things. So the references for me don't have any kind of hierarchical structure. Like some are AI, kind of fetishizing Instagram account generated images. Some are AI that I've generated, which from the free programs weren't so successful, but others are historical paintings, some are stock images found on the internet, photographs that I've taken. Yeah, so I think I kind of try to put those together and then have a body of work which probably looks to more traditional expected, you know, kind of scenography. So, you know, like bathhouses, pastoral scenes, you know, marketplaces, souks, things like this. So I guess like having a body of work that sort of ticks boxes for these different pillars is that first step, and then gathering images. Funnily enough, maybe, you know, the painting is the most sort of, you know, like 1 + 1 = 2 for me.
Yeah, it seems like you do like a lot of groundwork and a lot of research before you get to that act of actually the paintbrush in hand. And within the show, you have a mixture of both oil and ink on cotton and linen, as well as these breathtaking frescoes within the gallery space, each having a very different mode of application and in turn feeling. But firstly, I want to speak to the stretched works that are smaller in scale and offer a finer rendering of the image and a more expanded kind of theatrical environment to them. What was the kind of material process behind these works on canvas?
I know we'll get to that next, but painting in front of someone for me is so foreign. So, you know, like my studio kind of practice is quite and just like I don't find it particularly interesting because it's just something that's so normal to me. But I think for other people it is, and people love seeing like a filthy palette and, you know, like all the books that are like stuck together with the pages with all this like paint on it. And so I think I'm quite pretty, you know, traditional. I'm not very clean in the studio. I don't, you know, kind of wipe my palette and clean my brushes every day. Sorry, me. But, you know, like I think it's quite, in a way, the way that I was taught, which is also very traditional. So it's a reduced colour palette, white spectrum, yellow, red, blue, brown, and that's it.
Yeah, so adhering to these quite historical frameworks and techniques, like you're using all of those kind of that layers.
100%, yeah. To the point where I become, because my attention span I find is so short, that when I get bored of a process, then that's kind of where it stops on the surface as well. So, you know, like if I, in the past, and also, you know, like for me, painting someone else's painting is the same thing as painting an image, you know, like, so I think when people have, I guess, maybe sort of coined the word copy, reproduction, et cetera, you know, for works that I've done, you know, they'll always ask how long it takes and, you know, it's so much shorter because I'm not doing it properly, you know, like I think that for me is important, that it keeps the rigor and kind of interest in and on the surface. And in the studio too.
And these frescoes, which are kind of almost the complete opposite, they offer a much more sporadic and heated energy about them, embedded with layered materiality and the tracing of your movement along the wall. The pictorial scene is also way more zoomed in with the figures dominating the works. And they also feel a bit more contemporary in their imagery and pictorial scenes, which I think is really interesting by pairing them with this historical framework of that fresco on the wall. Yeah, can you tell me a bit about the making process behind the frescoes compared to that of the canvas and how that... Yeah, that shift in application and subject matter that they take on.
Yeah, I think that for a lot of the work that I produce, I sort of like this gymnastic energy between and within exhibition. I think that that kind of, you know, even to a degree maybe you know, like something for everyone. So yeah. I find that, like, and for me too, you know, like I can't do the same thing over and over again. Like I said, the attention span.
Yeah, because
you know?
Your detailed ones, it's very time consuming. Yeah.
Totally. And I think that I find detailed smaller works kind of weirdly relaxing. The more kind of larger ones are much more obviously physical as well. I think with the fresco works, I guess I just really, you know, being in that incredible space of Gus Fischer and also having so much great support, shout out Gus Fischer, install crew and also staff there. Like, yeah, it was kind of something, I guess, that I liked conceptually, but then also wanted to, I guess, I don't want to say challenge, but maybe sort of froth up the expectation of what subject is on a fresco. Mm. So they're both screenshots from queer movies that deal with, I think, othering, both sexually and, I guess, in people's identity as well. Mm. So I think they kind of made sense to kind of be flanked alongside the smaller works because they operate in the same way, but I think visually quite different. So as like, I guess, a wall, you know, like an environment within a space to sort of house these other more sort of, you know, formal works, I think, for me, kind of had that idea of, like thinking that a body of work was hopefully a bit more dynamic than more sort of monosyllabic in its kind of expectation of one thing to the other.
Yeah, I also really like, how those imageries are the more contemporary references. And I think maybe normally with a fresco, it being on the ceiling and they're high, they're often in a place of, they seem like they're in a position higher. Mm-hmm. They've got this hierarchical thing, but the space that they're in, even though they do go up that height, they've got also the feeling of like being amongst, which I think I really like, that they're like with the people walking around the space, it has got that extra layer of closeness.
Yeah. Yeah, like it was interesting, even just you saying that now kind of made me sort of go like, go back to, you know, there's frescoes everywhere, but like, you know, I think graffiti on walls also a type of that same thing.
It's kind of evolved, eh?
Yeah. But I think this kind of idea of it being grander, you know, like especially sort of like bending to the architecture of these sort of grand spaces too, I find kind of interesting. And I guess, you know, sort of strangely, like I didn't really expect it, even though they're obviously stills from film, where they do come across as quite cinematic as well. And maybe that has to do with, you know, if people go and see it, like the colour of the walls, which was also a nod towards, you know, this sort of like blushed stone kind of, you know, which is very synonymous with like colonized sort of museums and collections that house these works as well. So I think that, I feel like that kind of idea of scale and, you know, operates within and between also the two bodies of work, which is the same body for me, in also like how the smaller ones are quite small, you know, like, and they're kind of, you know, cropped on purpose as well. So they are more intimate.
Yeah, intimate and like a different, the fresco is like approaching that idea of intimacy in different ways.
Totally.
Which is really lovely. And for those frescoes, did you use that traditional technique of, what is it, lime? Sort of pigment?
I did to a degree where I was like, yeah, that's right. It was like a lime plaster substrate and then got some bulking egg yolk protein powder. Instead of using traditional...
Yeah, I was going to say, did you?
It's the same thing, really. Yeah.
Yeah, so tedious that separating the
egg
white.
Yeah, no, I think because I was using so much of it, or what I thought would be like a few kilos. It was interesting, like I've never really worked with... I've always worked with paint from a tube. I haven't kind of gone full trad and like ground my, you know.
It's so hard.
Yeah, it's not that performative in the studio. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a much more fast strain medium.
Totally.
Yeah. So I think that really shows in the finished result of the work. It's so much more lively and fast, and
totally.
You can really see the brush strokes.
Yeah, for me, I think using scale and then working with the materials and even things like brushes as well. So, like, the brushes I was using were, like, some even as big as, you know, like a roller.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think for me that was important to sort of show that gesture and immediacy on the surface as opposed to sort of this more tedious and kind of insular kind of hand finger work even, you know.
How did you find the works to be, like sitting together in space with those quite really different applications? Are you interested in this conversation between different modes of application and what it can do to the exploration of the themes and imagery that you use?
Yeah, I think for me it's like that I'm still interested in the making process, and hopefully the viewer can, I don't know about challenged, but I think within that experiential sort of realm that it isn't so repetitive. So I think that the conversations between the subjects of the smaller works and the subjects of the bigger ones and then the two different visual kind of bodies of work.
Mm.
I think that, you know, like I guess I sort of aim for exhibitions to kind of have that narrative as something that's a bit hot, you know, and kind of, you know, works and, you know, kind of like that engine kind of, you know, runs within the experience of the show and not just the subject of the works beforehand.
That was Gian Manick speaking to me about his work within Dreaming from Afar, which is currently on at Gus Fisher Gallery until the 2nd of May. It's, so beautiful. Be sure to go check that one out.